Find your way to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Probably a very familiar story to you, the raising of Lazarus. And although we're not going to look at the entire thing, because it is the entire chapter, I wanted just to focus on really just one statement to one person, and that's to Martha. So go to John 11, verse 25. Probably heard this verse, read it many times. I want to just spend some time talking about it this morning. John 11, 25 says this: Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Let me say a quick word of prayer, then I want to just ask a couple of questions surrounding this word. Father, as we look to these words, may you give us understanding and wisdom. Show us, Lord, what it means that you are the resurrection and the life. And show us, Lord, what it means for us living in this present time. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. I think there's a good way to kind of approach this statement. And first of all, I'll ask you just two questions. Why did Jesus say this to Martha? And how did this word change Martha? And so the context is going to tell us why I think Jesus said this to Martha. So let's answer that one first. And this is in verse 1. So go to verse 1. I really wanted to go through all of it verse by verse, but there's so many things, so many different people involved. There's Mary, Martha, the disciples. There's, of course, Lazarus. And then there's Thomas. But I want to just focus on these words. But why did Jesus respond to Martha this way? The first thing we have in chapter 11 is really the setting. What was taking place in Martha's life? And her brother was sick. Look at verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.'" So why did Jesus say this to Martha? Well, I think it was Martha's faith was being tested. Martha's faith was being shaken. Mary and Martha had already encountered the Lord. They had already been following him, and they loved him. They loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him. Not just Martha, but Mary and Lazarus. It seems like he was very close to this family. So the situation is, you've got a family of believers who are following the Lord, and they know the Lord loves them. They love him, he loves them, but something's happened. He was sick. And so immediately when things like this happen, not only to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but even to us, it's easy for our faith to start doubting itself. If I love the Lord this much, and if he loves me this much, then why am I so concerned about this sickness? Why is this fear welling up in my heart? Surely the Lord will do something. And so I'm sure they waited and waited, and then finally got to the point, says, "We need to go get him. I don't think Lazarus is getting any better. Just send someone to go get him and tell him that Lazarus is sick," because they knew that Jesus loved them. And so they did that. So they sent word to Jesus, and Jesus answered with this response: "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So now we know the story. The raising of Lazarus means that Lazarus didn't make it. Lazarus did die. But why would the Lord say this sickness is not unto death? Because Lazarus did actually die. So why would he say this sickness is not unto death? Well, this was kind of makes me think that Martha's faith was being tested because it was limited in its scope. Martha loved the Lord. I think she truly loved the Lord. I think Mary did too, and so did Lazarus. But her faith could not see farther than, well, a couple of things. But before I answer that, though, I just want us to see that Jesus was responding because Martha is having some trouble. Now go to verse 20. Her faith was being tested, but also she could not see past this present age. And I say that very particularly. In other words, that this world and everything that's involved in it. She loved the Lord. She knew the Lord loved her. But yet her brother's sick and her faith is kind of being shaken. And her faith was limited in its scope. Because look at verse 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." The reason why I say that Martha's faith could not see past his present age is because she was limited in thinking that the Lord, surely, if you would have done this, then this would have happened. She's trying to reason through this. She's trying to use all of her, you know, her logic and her reason and basically just her flesh to try to figure all of this out. It was not conceivably possible for her, for the Lord, to do anything outside of what she could understand. Right? So she thought, she was trying to correct the Lord, trying to give him some advice. You know, if you'd have been here, it'd have been great. If you would have just been here. I'm sure she didn't say it with that sort of tone, but she did say, "Lord, if you could have done this, your power would have been greater if you were in my presence done this." Martha could not see past the way this world works. She couldn't see the Lord working outside of time and space, outside of the laws of nature, outside of history, and outside of all of these other things that we're all used to. She just couldn't understand how the Lord, first of all, why did you stay two more days? My brother's sick. You love us. I sent people to you to ask you to come. You got word from it, and you said he wasn't going to die. Then you waited 2 days, and he did die. He'd have just been here. This is the context surrounding Jesus' statement. So that's two reasons. Because Martha's faith was going to be tested. And because she could only see, her faith could only see past this present age. But also because Martha's faith could only see hope in the last day. Her faith could only see hope in the pie in the sky. Her faith could only see when it's all done and over with, that's when everything's going to be okay. I get that from verse 24 and 25. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Okay? I know. Go back to verse, I guess I missed verse 22. "But even now I know that God will, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know." It's kind of interesting that she kind of knows a lot, doesn't she? I think a lot of us are like Martha. A lot of us are like Martha because our faith is strong as long as it makes sense in every area. Our faith is solid as long as everything's kind of held together. Let me read you something from Luke 10 about Martha. Because this is the first time Jesus encountered Martha. It's in Luke 10. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So this kind of helps us kind of round out this understanding of who Martha was. She was self-sufficient. She was independent. She had a strong and bold faith. And she liked to have things her way. As long as she had a certain level of control of things, then her faith was strong. Her faith was vibrant. She truly loved the Lord. She knew that the Lord loved him. But even in her first encounter, she knew that things needed to be done. Yes, Lord, sure, that's great, but there's too much work to be done. Let's serve him. Let's get the house clean. Let's do the dishes. Let's cook him some lunch. But Mary knew that this is the Lord. We need to sit at his feet and listen. Let's take some time to just slow down and stop. Martha says, "Well, I don't have time for that. There's all these things that need to be done." And she said, She tried to correct the Lord again. Tell her to help me. Do you see there's all of these things that need to be done? So Martha, I truly believe she was a believer. I truly believe she loved the Lord, but it was hard for her to see past what she could do in her own capabilities. It was hard for her to see how God could work outside of anything that she could understand. It was hard for her to see, evidently, how the Lord could do anything past death. So why did Jesus say this to Martha? I think because the Lord was trying to teach her something. The Lord was trying to show her something that she could not see. And I think a lot of us are like Martha. That as long as everything is okay, then we can rejoice. We can praise Him. We can enjoy all that, you know, who He is. But if anything gets in the way, then we kind of kick in this other gear thinking, well, God, You've got me up to this point. I got it from here. Everything's going to be okay. But Lazarus was sick. Her brother was sick and she couldn't do anything about it. And I know we've all been there. When you labor and you labor and you labor and you invested time and you invested energy into a person, into a thing, into a business, into whatever. And then it just crumbles or just falls. Or they get sick. And all you want to do is fix it. All you want to do is help them. All you want to do is take it away. If I could just do this. And I think a lot of times we, like Martha, are put in these situations because the Lord is trying to show us your faith is not seeing far enough yet. Your faith is strong, but it's not as strong as you think it is. And so the Lord responded, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha was thinking, Lord, if You'd have been here, it would have been great. I know things are going to be fine in the future, but You weren't here and the future's a long way off. So I've done everything I can. Now I'm just going to be here alone. I'm just going to be here and just deal with it. Right? Stiff upper lip, pull herself up by her bootstraps. I'm just going to be strong. I'm just going to be independent. I'll just tough it out, because that's the kind of person Martha was. She's a hard worker. But the Lord put her in a vulnerable position. It put her in a space where she could not do anything about it. And that's exactly where the Lord wanted her, because He wanted her faith to be strengthened. That's why I think the Lord responded to Martha this way. I don't think He's rebuking her. I think He's teaching her. So He says, I am the resurrection and the life. How does this word change Martha? And what does it mean? I am the resurrection and the life. Well, in verse 25, what He says after that is really answering that question. I am the resurrection and the life. Now notice what He says after. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. Right? I am the resurrection. Martha's saying, Lord, there's no hope beyond the grave. Maybe at the far off distant future. Yeah, I understand that part. I get that part. Yeah, heaven's great and it's wonderful, but that really doesn't help me now. The Lord said, then you really haven't grasped it yet. You really haven't understood what the concept of resurrection yet. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I had grasped it fully until about 6 months ago. And really, this morning. And I don't think I've got it all in its fullness. Let me pause here and answer a question that I know you all had since you showed up here today. Why are you wearing a suit? I don't know, all of you are wondering, curious about that, sure. I'm wearing a suit today because my friend, Brother Tim Mabe, Timothy Ray Mabe, always wanted me to wear a jacket and a tie on Sunday morning. Always wanted me to wear a jacket and a tie. And I would, every once in a while, then I'd kind of, you know, I'd get off track, I'd get off the narrow way and go the way of the world and wear short sleeves. Then I kind of get back on it again. And I remember one day sitting on that porch right there. He said, he was kind of pumping me up about it. I was like, you're right. I should wear a jacket and a tie. So he said, well, brother, bud, let's covenant together. Let's wear a jacket and tie. Now that may seem kind of silly to y'all, but that meant a lot to me. Because he cared. So I wore this suit today. The last time I wore this suit was 6 months ago when we laid him to rest, when we buried him. And I wore this tie today with this suit because this tie was given to me by my friend, my dear sister Marie Terry, who is also gone today. She is with the Lord. And so I took a walk this morning after our time of prayer during our normal Sunday school hour and walked the graveyard and saw his new headstone that was there, and I passed Marie's headstone and many, many others. And even before I came to church this morning, I was just thinking about all those who have gone on. And it hit me. Up to this point, I never really lost anyone that close to me other than my grandfather back in 2006. But I think up to this point, I was kind of where Martha was. Yeah, everything's great. And I know it's going to be great in the future. But 6 months ago, my world was shaken. And I'm certain that all of you have probably been there. That before your world was shaken, if somebody asked you, do you have faith in the Lord Jesus? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Strong. Yeah, I'm a believer. Yes, it's great. But then that moment came. Or maybe you're Lazarus. Maybe you're Mary. Maybe you're the one that's sick. Maybe you're Mary or Martha and it's your brother laying on that deathbed. Or maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your wife, your husband. And at that moment, it really didn't make sense. But I've served the Lord for so long, but I love the Lord so much, and I believe His Word that says that He loves me. Why is this happening to me? That's where Martha was. So I don't know if you're Martha or Mary or like myself, just I needed this Word. I needed it. I needed to see it clearly. And Martha, I'm sorry, the Lord is responding to Martha, trying to show her, You had too much control over your faith. Your faith was limited in its scope. Let me expand to you this idea. I am everything you're looking for. I am the answer to your insufficiencies. I am the one that makes it all make sense. I am the one that gives you hope after the grave. I am the resurrection. But He doesn't stop there. Because that's the hope for the future and their certainty. When I was walking in those graves today, and I just couldn't even wrap my mind around the idea of seeing Tim again. Before, it was kind of fanciful, fairy tale type idea. But I don't think I'd ever been so close to anybody before. But now, when I think about it, I long for it. I long for it more than anything. It blew me away that Christ is the resurrection and the life. And though one may die, he may live again. It's interesting the way verse 26 kind of reverses it. But it's really, that's the life part. I am the resurrection is the first part in verse 25. And I am the life is in verse 26. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Literally itself, never die forever. Never ever die. That's kind of the idea. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Let me just pause right there. Our faith has to be shaped by the Word of God, because that's what Christ is saying here. Christ is giving her the Word of God right there in her ear, speaking to her. But it's also shaped by our experiences. Now, our experiences don't shape our understanding of the Word of God. Our experiences help us to grasp the Word of God more clearly. We have the truth, but that truth just by itself in some abstract kind of way really doesn't do us any good. And that's where I've been for a long time. I've got a lot of theology in my head, but not a lot of experiences. But as I live and as I raise children and as I do more funerals, these words come to life to me more and more again. I think that's what's happening with Martha. And my prayer is that as we live, that we will take the words of God with us and help us to grasp our experiences. Because if you don't have the Word of God, if the Word of God is not deeply rooted in you, then you're going to be just like Martha before this statement. Lord, I believe your word to a certain point, to a certain extent. I know that I can do all things through you who strengthens me as long as you're here, or as long as it makes sense to me, or as long as I think it's possible. And far too often, I think that's the limit of our faith. But the Lord knew that about Martha, and He said, Martha, let me explain something to you. I'm greater than you can possibly ever imagine. I could have raised your brother without even being there. He could have. He's done it before. But he wanted her to see something. He wanted her to see that he has changed the way that she should see death. Death is no longer the period at the end of our lives. It's a comma. Death no longer has this fearful finality to it. Death no longer grips her in fear. Death no longer should have its sway over us. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, or he will live again. That's how he wanted her to see death. That yes, death is a reality. That's true. But it is not the end. Matter of fact, it is the beginning. But he also wanted her to change the way she saw all of life. Because I think she more or less lived in verse 25. And I can see her kind of nodding up to this point. Yeah, I got it. I know. But what about now? What about this funeral that's taking place with my brother? Where were you at 2 days ago or 4 days ago? Because it was 4 days that Lazarus lay in the tomb. And if you just could imagine those 4 days. This family that loved the Lord so much, and they sent for him. Matter of fact, he was only 2 miles away. And I know that from, I think it's in verse 28. Says that he was just 2 miles away. I can't find it off the top of my head. But, I mean, could you imagine being there? Now, they didn't have cars or anything, but 2 miles, not that far to walk, especially if somebody that you love is sick and dying. So they loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him, and they knew he was in the vicinity. He was close enough to get there and to do something about it. But then they found out that he intentionally stayed 2 more extra days to make it 4 days before he could get there. What would you be saying if it was your brother or your husband or your wife or your child laying on their deathbed? And you knew the Lord wouldn't come on purpose. There's a lot of things floating through Martha and Mary's head right now. They were trying to make sense of a lot of things, and they just couldn't. Why did he take so long? Why did he not come immediately? Why didn't he just speak a word? Why didn't he just perform a miracle? Why wasn't he here? Why didn't he do something? You ever been there? When everything that made sense to you all of a sudden didn't make sense? Everything you had control over, all of a sudden you'd had no control. Everything you thought you could fix, no longer you could fix. You've done everything in your power to do it. And then you've even prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And it didn't change anything. That's where Mary and Martha were. Mary was so stunned, she couldn't leave the house. Martha still had hope. That's why I like Martha. She still had hope, but she still had hope in her own power. She heard that the Lord was coming and said, okay, I'll go get him now. I'll take care of this. I'll throw him on my back. I'll get him here quicker. Right? I'll make it happen. I'll make it happen. So she ran to him. Lord, where have you been? I sent for you. You knew where we were at. You knew that he was sick. If you'd have just been here. Martha didn't quite get it. She didn't quite. She had a good view of it. But not the whole thing. So the Lord said, Martha, you've missed it. You're still trying to make sense of life in your own strength. You're still trying to handle things in your own strength. Just like when I first met you, you couldn't sit still. Mary or Martha, just be still. Let me do what I'm going to do. He wanted to change the way she saw death. He wanted to change the way she saw life. And he wanted to change the way that she saw him. Look at verse 27. After he asked her, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. There's basically three titles here. The first two are easy to get. Yes, Lord. Well, maybe that one counts too. I believe that you are the Christ. That's one. The Son of God. That's two. And it's hard in our English translations, but the third one is she's actually saying you're the coming one. The coming one. So it's actually three titles. And as I was looking at this, I was thinking that something did change in her thinking. Something did change in her mind. Because before, I think all she saw of him as the one who could do something about it. That she could do everything she could possibly do, and then if she needed him, she could go to him. Right? We don't know how long Lazarus was sick. Why didn't they call for him earlier? I could just imagine Martha doing everything. I'll go to the drugstore and get this, and I'll take him to the doctor and we'll do this, and I'll make this for him, and I'll get this, and I'll get some ice, and I'll get some blankets, and I'll do everything I can. And once she realized that I've done everything I possibly can, my brother's going to die. Then she said, go get Jesus. I've done everything I possibly could. Go get him. Then when that didn't work, then her world began to fall apart. You ever been there? Well, you've done everything you possibly could think of, and then finally thought, maybe I should ask for God's help. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why don't we go to him first? Well, I think we're like Martha. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to do everything ourselves. Now, I'm not against being a hard worker, but there's a danger in being self-sufficient. But she gets it here. You are the Christ, that is the one anointed and appointed by God. You're the one. You're the one we've been waiting for. You are the Son of God, the one equal with God, the unique, only begotten Son of God, the one and only. And then thirdly, the one who is coming into the world, or the one who has come, or the coming one. She saw him finally as the one to rescue. He wanted to shape the way she viewed death and life and himself. And essentially, that pretty much encapsulates all of life. Outside of those three areas, we can't make sense of anything. If all we see when we walk through a graveyard is just the end, well, it was a good run. They had a good, long, full life. And that's it, though. But that's it. And you say, yeah, but they're in heaven and all that's great. You know, that's not it. Jesus is the resurrection and the life in the present tense. That it's not simply a hope for the future, but there is hope now. Let me read to you Romans 6, 4 through 11. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Now listen to this. Likewise, or in the same way, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus our Lord. So in essence, as believers, our life is the resurrection life. We're living it now. Remember what the Lord said? He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never, ever die. You say, but Lazarus did die. No. The Lord was trying to show Martha that her view of death was wrong. And the disciples had it wrong too. Remember, he said, Lazarus isn't dead. He's asleep. And I said, well, great. Well, if he's asleep, let him sleep. Let him get some rest. He'll get better. They didn't quite get it. Martha didn't get it. Mary didn't get it. The disciples didn't get it. So the Lord was trying to correct them and us. That if your faith is only safe when you can make sense of everything, if your faith only is safe when you kind of have a handle on everything, or if your faith only makes sense because we have something to look forward in the future, you're still missing that in between the ages period. You know, when you walk out there and you see born March 11th, 1983, in that little hyphen, right? That's where we're living, in that little space. Now, I don't know when my day is coming. But if I'm tempted to live either in my own control or only when that day has come. Like Martha was saying, I know he's going to live again in the last time. I get that. How does that help me now? How does that give me hope now? Well, the Lord says, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he will always live. But for you, Martha, who are still alive at this moment, and you believe in me, guess what, Martha? You're never going to die. For the Christian, death is just our entrance into the life that God has for us. The world doesn't see death like that. The world will never see death like that. And if we're tempted to continue to see death like that, then our funerals will just be full of sorrow or some kind of only a hope for the future kind of thing. But what I wanted us to see this morning is we do have hope for the future. All of those people in those graves are going to get up, and that is true. We will see Tim Mabe again and Marie again. And all, several people in here have people buried in there. We will see them again. But don't be like Martha and think, yeah, but in the meantime, it's just going to be awful. In the meantime, I'm just going to be full of sorrow. In the meantime, I'm just going to have to keep working hard and make sure everything's taken care of in my own strength. No. In the meantime, we need to walk in newness of life. In newness of life. Essentially, if you're a believer, you've already died. And you've been raised from life. Or raised from dead to life. Our resurrection lives have already begun. We don't have to wait for it. Our death is just the entrance into its fullness. And even then, we're still going to be reunited with those bodies once again when we're raised from the dead. So it's either heaven or the resurrection, yes. But between now and until they put that final date on your headstone, there is still much hope, much joy, much life to live. And you know the story. The Lord told Lazarus to get up. And Lazarus did get up. He raised from the dead. But I think the whole point of this was to try to show these people that Jesus loved dearly that their faith and their hope is much greater than they can ever possibly imagine. And I want us to take that away this morning. I know all of you love the Lord. And I know you know that the Lord loves you. But also, just looking at all of your faces, I know what kind of pain you've been through. I know what kind of circumstances you're facing. But fight the temptation to think, well, everything's going to be all right when I'm dead and gone. Or everything's going to be all right when I go to heaven. Or everything's going to be all right when I see them again in heaven. And you're just kind of living in this pause. You're living in this state where you're just kind of hanging on. You're living in this place where I know I'm supposed to be happy and joyful, but this sorrow is too much for me to bear. So I'm just going to wait until the last day. And on the last day, I'm sure everything's going to make sense. Listen, that's no way to live. The way that Christ wanted Martha and Mary to live is the way He wants us to live. In the reality of that hope. Yes. Can we be sorrowful? Yes. My heart is heavy this morning, missing many of my friends. But this keeps ringing in my ears. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Whoever dies and believes in me shall live again. So I'm faced with the choice to either believe my emotions and my word or my thoughts with the truth of the Word of God. And that's exactly what confronted Martha, was the Word of Christ right in her ears. Martha, you need to listen to me. And I don't know who in here needs to listen to the Lord too. But everything that this day points forward to, everything that this day represents, is not simply something for the future, but it's something for us now. So I want to close with this question. And this question is what the Lord posed to Martha. Do you believe this? Now, you may respond in haste and say, absolutely, amen, I believe that. Well, Martha would have said that too about 4 days ago in John chapter 11. Before Lazarus died, she would have said, yes, I believe this. But Lazarus died. I don't know what life-changing event has tested your faith lately. But can you say that today? Do you actually and truly believe this? Some of you say, yeah, I do. I truly, honestly do. Because I've been through it. I've seen it enough. Some of you might be saying, I want to really bad, but it's just really, really hard. I want to say to you, the Lord loved Martha enough to come speak to her. He could have left her in her self-sufficiency. He could have left her in her abilities to take care of things herself. He could have left her in her despair. He could have done all that. But he made the trip to Bethany to talk to people that he loved and that loved him, to tell them something that they needed to hear. And I'm praying that you hear his words today. That regardless of what you've gone through, regardless of who you've lost, regardless of your Mary, Martha, or Lazarus, or the disciples, or Thomas, or any of those in John chapter 11, the Lord is willing and ready to speak to you. Just lay it all down before him. He knows you better than you know yourself. So give it all to him and leave it all to him. Do you believe this? Let's pray.